Welcome to the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. This podcast will be a sharing of part of my morning routine as I prepare for the day with the Word of God. We will be partaking of Puritan prayers from the Valley of Vision, each day's morning devotional from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's Morning and Evening, and we'll be reading from the Legacy Standard Bible, which is the newest and, I believe, the most accurate translation of the Word of God. We will be following a Bible reading calendar that provides for reading the whole Bible in a year that was created by Minister Robert Murray McShane for his congregation back in 1842, and that has been a part of my daily reading for over 6 years now. Good morning and welcome to the Tuesday, May 29th episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I am Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Definitely a lot of great listening out there. Definitely worth your while. I want to continue to point you at the final two links in our show notes. The first one down there is the Vail Valley Baptist Church Give Send Go campaign. We are striving to rapidly pay off our mortgage so that we can commence establishment of a Christian classic education-based school. So go ahead and click on the link. It'll give you a much more thorough description. And then we would ask three things of you. We'd ask you to pray for us. We'd ask you to prayerfully consider giving to us. And we would ask you to pass the link along so that others can do the same. At the same time, the very last one in there is also a Give, Send, Go. I named it the Transportation, or actually they named it the Transportation for Church Planters Jollies. This is for Nathaniel Jolly and his wife up in Alaska. They are church planters up there. They have a truck issue. Their one vehicle is broke down now and needs a rebuild, about $8,000 worth of a rebuild. So, and they are desperately in need. This truck is critical for their church planting and their work up there. And Nathaniel doesn't draw. He doesn't draw because he's a church planter. He doesn't draw a salary in any way, shape, or form. So they are definitely in need. And Nathaniel's a great brother in Christ. Does a lot of great work. He's co-host of the Truth Be Known podcast, which is a wonderful, wonderful podcast here on the Christian podcast community. But they are definitely in need. So I would ask you to do the same. Go ahead, click on that link as well. And go read about the need and then do the same thing. Pray for them, prayerfully consider giving to them, and pass the link along so that others can do the same. All right, well, it is Memorial Day. Just a few things real quick. Typically, you don't wish somebody a happy Memorial Day. Memorial Day is solemn. And a reminder, Memorial Day is not for those serving and not for the veterans. It is for those who never came home. Those who were never able, I saw a meme and I thought it was beautiful. It was for those who were never able, who never got the chance to take the uniform off. So it's solemn. I mean, but it's something. And, you know, you want to go barbecue and all that stuff, please do. You know, I wouldn't say don't do that, but it's not, yeah, again, it's not for us veterans and it's not for those who are currently serving. This is about those and their families, your Gold Star families, those who have lost somebody, who never got a chance to take the uniform off, that lost somebody in service to their country. So, just so you know. Also, because of this past weekend and my sermon, having to prep the sermon and everything like that, I said I was going to have the Bible study ready for tonight, but I didn't. So we'll pick it back up tomorrow night, Tuesday night. God willing, but we're going to at least do our Bible reading for the day. So with all that said, let's go ahead and get started with that. We're going to open up with the second day morning prayer. It's called God Over All. Let's pray. O God, all sufficient, thou hast made and uphold us all things by the word of thy power. Darkness is thy pavilion. Thou walkest on the wings of the wind. All nations are nothing before thee. One generation succeeds another, and we hasten back to the dust. The heavens we behold will vanish away, like the clouds that cover them. The earth we tread on will dissolve as a morning dream. But thou, unchangeable and incorruptible, art forever and ever, God over all, blessed eternally. Infinitely great and glorious art thou. We are thy offspring and thy care. Thy hands have made and fashioned us. Thou hast watched over us with more than parental love, more than maternal tenderness. Thou hast holden our soul in life and not suffered our feet to be moved. Thy divine power has given us all things necessary for life and godliness. Let us bless thee at all times, and forget not how thou hast forgiven our iniquities, healed our diseases, redeemed our lives from destruction, crowned us with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfied our mouths with good things, renewed our youth like the eagles. May thy holy scriptures govern every part of our lives and regulate the discharge of all our duties, so that we may adorn thy doctrine in all things. Amen. All right. Our morning devotion for this morning from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening for May 29th. The text for it is from Psalm 45:7. Thou hatest wickedness. Be ye angry and sin not. There can hardly be goodness in a man if he be not angry at sin. He who loves truth must hate every false way. How our Lord Jesus hated it when the temptation came. Thrice it assailed him in different forms, but ever he met it with, Get thee behind me, Satan. He hated it in others. Nonetheless, fervently, because he showed his hate oftener in tears of pity than in words of rebuke. Yet what language could be more stern, more Elijah-like, than the words, Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye devour widows' houses, and for a pretense make long prayer. He hated wickedness so much that he bled to wound it to the heart. He died that it might die. He was buried that he might bury it in his tomb, and he rose that he might forever trample it beneath his feet. Christ is in the gospel, and that gospel is opposed to wickedness in every shape. Wickedness arrays itself in fair garments and imitates the language of holiness. But the precepts of Jesus, like his famous scourge of small cords, chase it out of the temple and will not tolerate it in the church. So too, in the heart where Jesus reigns, what war there is between Christ and Belial. And when our Redeemer shall come to be our judge, those thundering words, Depart ye cursed, which are indeed but a prolongation of his life-teaching concerning sin, shall manifest his abhorrence of iniquity. As warm as is his love to sinners, so hot is his hatred of sin. As perfect as is his righteousness, so complete shall be the destruction of every form of wickedness. O thou glorious champion of right and destroyer of wrong! For this cause hath God, even thy God, anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All right, we're going to do our reading. Excuse me. Wow, a little stuffy when I got up this morning. So, all right, our reading today is going to be 2 Samuel 14 and then 15 verses 1 through 22, John 18 verses 1 through 24, Psalm 119 verses 97 through 112, and Proverbs 16 verses 8 and 9. So, 2 Samuel 14. Hear the word of the Lord. Now Joab the son of Zeruiah knew that the king's heart was inclined toward Absalom. So Joab sent to Tekoa and brought a wise woman from there and said to her, Please pretend to be a mourner and put on mourning garments now, and do not anoint yourself with oil, but be like a woman who has been mourning for the dead many days. Then you shall go to the king and speak to him in this manner. So Joab put the words in her mouth. So the woman of Tekoa spoke to the king, and she fell on her face to the ground and prostrated herself and said, Save, O king. And the king said to her, What is your trouble? And she answered, Truly, I am a widow. My husband has died, and your servant woman has had two sons. But the two of them struggled together in the field, and there was no one to deliver between them. So one struck the other and put him to death. And behold, the whole family has risen against your servant woman. And they say, Hand over the one who struck his brother, that we may put him to death for the life of his brother whom he killed, and destroy the heir also. Thus they will extinguish my coal which remains, so as to leave my husband neither name nor remnant on the face of the earth. Then the king said to the woman, Go to your house, and I will give a command concerning you. And the woman of Tekoa said to the king, O my lord the king, the iniquity is on me and my father's house, but the king and his throne are guiltless. So the king said, Whoever speaks to you, bring him to me, and he will not touch you any more. Then she said, Please let the king remember Yahweh your God, so that the avenger of blood will not continue to bring about ruin, so that they would not destroy my son. And he said, As Yahweh lives, not one hair of your son shall fall to the ground. Then the woman said, Please let your servant woman speak a word to my lord the king. And he said, Speak. Then the woman said, Why then have you thought up such a thing against the people of God? For in speaking this word, the king is as one who is guilty, in that the king does not bring back his banished one. For we will surely die, and are like water spilled on the ground, which cannot be gathered up again. Yet God does not take away life, but thinks up way so that the banished one will not be cast out from him. So now the reason I have come to speak this word to my lord the king is that the people have made me afraid. So your servant woman said, let me now speak to the king. Perhaps the king will perform the word of his maidservant. For the king will listen and deliver his maidservant from the hand of the man who would destroy both me and my son from the inheritance of God. Then your servant woman said, please let the word of my lord the king be a resting place, for as the angel of God, so is my lord the king to listen with discernment through the good and evil, and may Yahweh your God be with you. Then the king answered and said to the woman, please do not hide anything from me that I am about to ask you. And the woman said, let my lord the king please speak. So the king said, is the hand of Joab with you in all this? And the woman answered and said, as your soul lives, my lord the king, no one can turn to the right or to the left from anything that my lord the king has spoken. Indeed, it was your servant Joab who commanded me, and it was he who put all these words in the mouth of your servant woman. In order to change the appearance of things, your servant Joab has done this thing, but my lord is wise, like the wisdom of the angel of God, to know all that is in the earth. Then the king said to Joab, behold now, I have done this thing. Go therefore, bring back the young man Absalom. And Joab fell on his face to the ground and prostrated himself and blessed the king. Then Joab said, today your servant knows that I have found favor in your sight, O my lord the king, in that the king has performed the word of his servant. So Joab arose and went to Geshur and brought Absalom to Jerusalem. However, the king said, let him turn to his own house and let him not see my face. So Absalom turned to his own house and did not see the king's face. Now in all Israel was no one as handsome as Absalom, so highly praised, from the sole of his foot to the top of his head, there was no defect in him. When he shaved the hair of his head, and it was at the end of every year that he shaved it, for it was heavy on him, so he shaved it, he weighed the hair of his head at 200 shekels by the king's weight. And to Absalom there were born 3 sons and 1 daughter, whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of beautiful appearance. Now Absalom lived 2 full years in Jerusalem, and did not see the king's face. Then Absalom sent for Joab to send him to the king, but he was not willing to come to him. So he sent again a second time, but he was not willing to come. Therefore he said to his servants, see, Joab's portion of land is next to mine, and he has barley there. Go and set it on fire. So Absalom's servants set the portion of land on fire. Then Joab arose, came to Absalom at his house, and said to him, why have your servants set my portion of land on fire? And Absalom answered Joab, behold, I sent for you, saying, come here that I may send you to the king, to say, why have I come from Geshur? It would be better for me still to be there. So now let me see the king's face, and if there is iniquity in me, let him put me to death. So Joab came to the king and told him, and he called for Absalom. Thus he came to the king and prostrated himself on his face to the ground before the king, and the king kissed Absalom. 2 Samuel 15. We're going to read through to verse 22. Now it happened afterwards that Absalom prepared for himself a chariot and horses and 50 men as runners before him. And Absalom used to rise early and stand beside the way to the gate. And when any man had a case to come to the king for judgment, Absalom would call to him and say, from what city are you? And he would say, your servant is from one of the tribes of Israel. Then Absalom would say to him, see, your words are good and right, but no man listens to you on the part of the king. Then Absalom would say, oh, that one would appoint me judge in the land. Then every man who has any case or judgment could come to me, and I would justify him. And when a man came near to prostrate himself before him, he would send forth his hand and take hold of him and kiss him. In this manner Absalom dealt with all Israel who came to the king for judgment. So Absalom stole away the hearts of the men of Israel. Now it happened at the end of 40 years that Absalom said to the king, please let me go and pay my vow which I have vowed to Yahweh in Hebron. For your servant vowed a vow while I was living at Geshur in Aram, saying, if Yahweh shall indeed bring me back to Jerusalem, then I will serve Yahweh. And the king said to him, go in peace. So he arose and went to Hebron. Then Absalom sent spies throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, as soon as you hear the sound of the trumpet, then you shall say, Absalom is king in Hebron. Now 200 men went with Absalom from Jerusalem, who were invited and went innocently, and they did not know anything. and Absalom sent for Ahithophel the Gilonite, David's counselor, from his city Gilo, while he was offering the sacrifices. And the conspiracy was strong, for the people increased continually with Absalom. Then an informant came to David, saying, "The hearts of the men of Israel have followed Absalom." So David said to all his servants who were with him at Jerusalem, "Arise and let us flee, for otherwise there will be no escape for us from Absalom. Go in haste, lest he overtake us hastily and drive calamity on us and strike the city with the edge of the sword." Then the king's servants said to the king, "Behold, your servants are ready to do whatever my lord the king chooses." So the king went out and all his household with him, but the king left 10 concubines to keep the house. And the king went out and all the people with him, and they stopped at the last house. Now all his servants passed on beside him, all the Cherethites, all the Pelethites, and all the Gittites, 600 men who had come with him from Gath, passed on before the king. Then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, "Why will you also go with us? Return and remain with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile. Return to your own place. You came only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander with us, going about while I go where I go? Return and cause your brothers to return. Loving kindness and truth be with you." But Ittai answered the king and said, "As Yahweh lives, and as my lord the king lives, surely wherever my lord the king may be, wherever for death or for whether for death or for life, there also your servant will be." So David said to Ittai, "Go and pass over." So Ittai the Gittite passed over with all his men and all the little ones who were with him. John 18, verse 1 through 24. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples to the other side of the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden into which he entered with his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often gathered there with his disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. So Jesus, knowing all the things that were coming upon him, went forth and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus the Nazarene." He said to them, "I am he," and Judas also, who was betraying him, was standing with them. So when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Therefore he again asked them, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus the Nazarene." Jesus answered, "And I told you that I am he, so if you seek me, let these go their way, in order that the word which he spoke would be fulfilled, 'Of those whom you have given me, I lost not one.'" Simon Peter then, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave, and cut off his right ear, and the slave's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put the sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not drink it?" So the Roman cohort and the commander and the officers of the Jews arrested Jesus and bound him, and led him to Annas first, for he was father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. Now Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it was better for one man to die on behalf of the people. And Simon Peter was following Jesus, and so was another disciple. Now that disciple was known to the high priests, and entered with Jesus into the court of the high priest. But Peter was standing at the door outside. So the other disciple, who was known to the high priest, went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and brought Peter in. Then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, "Are you not also one of this man's disciples?" He said, "I am not." Now the slaves and the officers were standing there, having made a charcoal fire, for it was cold, and they were warming themselves. And Peter was also with them, standing and warming himself. The high priest then questioned Jesus about his disciples and about his teachings. Jesus answered him, "I have spoken openly to the world. I always taught in synagogues and in the temple, where all the Jews come together, and I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those who have heard what I spoke to them. Behold, they know what I said." And when he had said this, one of the officers standing nearby gave Jesus a slap, saying, "Is that the way you answer the high priest?" Jesus answered him, "If I have spoken wrongly, bear witness of the wrong. But if rightly, why do you strike me?" So Annas sent him bound to Caiaphas the high priest. Now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself. So they said to him, "You are not also one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it and said, "I am not." One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of the one whose ear Peter cut off, said, "Did I not see you in the garden with him?" Peter then denied it again, and immediately a rooster crowed. Oh, I read past where I was supposed to read. Anyways, Psalm 119, verse 97 through 112. Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. Your commandments make me wiser than my enemies, for they are mine forever. I have more insight than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I perceive more than the aged, because I have observed your precepts. I have restrained my feet from every evil way, that I may keep your word. I have not turned aside from your judgments, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet is your word to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. From your precepts I get perception, therefore I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and I have confirmed to keep your righteous judgments. I am exceedingly afflicted. O Yahweh, revive me according to your word. O be pleased with the freewill offering of my mouth. O Yahweh, and teach me your judgments. My soul is continually in my hand, yet I do not forget your law. The wicked have laid a snare for me, yet I have not wandered from your precepts. I have inherited your testimonies forever, for they are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to do your statutes forever to the end. All right. And Proverbs 16, verses 8 and 9. Better is a little with righteousness than great produce with injustice. The heart of man plans his way, but Yahweh directs his steps. All right, in our evening devotion, the text for it is from Joshua 6:26. Cursed be the man before the Lord that riseth up and buildeth this city Jericho. Since he was cursed who rebuilt Jericho, much more the man who labors to restore popery among us. In our fathers' days, the gigantic walls of popery fell by the power of their faith, the perseverance of their efforts, and the blast of their gospel trumpets. And now there are some who would rebuild that accursed system upon its old foundation. O Lord, be pleased to thwart their unrighteous endeavors, and pull down every stone which they build. It should be a serious business with us to be thoroughly purged of every error which may have a tendency to foster the spirit of popery. And when we have made a clean sweep at home, we should seek in every way to oppose it, its all too rapid spread abroad in the church and in the world. This last can be done in secret by fervent prayer and in public by decided testimony. We must warn with judicious boldness those who are inclined towards the errors of Rome. We must instruct the young in gospel truth and tell them of the black doings of popery in the olden times. We must aid in spreading the light more thoroughly through the land, and for priests like ours hate daylight. Are we doing all we can for Jesus and the gospel? If not, our negligence plays into the hands of the priestcraft. What are we doing to spread the Bible, which is the Pope's bane and poison? Are we casting abroad good sound gospel writings? Luther once said, "The devil hates goose quills," and doubtless he has good reason, for ready writers, by the Holy Spirit's blessing, have done his kingdom much damage. If the thousands who will read this short word this night will do as they can to hinder the rebuilding of the accursed Jericho, the Lord's glory shall speed among the sons of men. Reader, what can you do? What will you do? All right, well, that is our reading for the day. I hope you have a wonderful day. I hope you spend at least a little bit of time in prayer and reverence for those who gave their life for our country. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God. And I hope to see you tomorrow. And I'm very much planning on getting all this stuff ready so that we can do Bible study tomorrow evening. All right. Let's go ahead and close with the second day evening prayer. It's called Bounty. Let's pray. Thou great and only potentate, thou hast made summer and winter, day and night. Each of these revolutions serves our welfare and is full of thy care and kindness. Thy bounty is seen in the relations that train us, the laws that defend us, the homes that shelter us, the food that builds us, the raiment that comforts us, the continuance of our health, members, senses, understanding, memory, affection, will. But as stars fade before the rising sun, thou hast eclipsed all these benefits in the wisdom and grace that purposed redemption by Jesus thy Son. Blessed be thy mercy that laid help on one that is mighty and willing, one that is able to save to the uttermost. Make us deeply sensible of our need of his saving grace, of the blood that cleanses, of the rest he has promised, and impute to us that righteousness which justifies the guilty, gives them a title to eternal life and possession of the Spirit. May we love the freeness of salvation and joy in its holiness. Give us faith to grasp thy promises that are our hope, provide for every exigency, and prevent every evil. Keep our hearts from straying after forbidden pleasures. May thy will bind all our wishes. Let us live out of the world as to its spirit, maxim, manners, but live in it as the sphere of our action and usefulness. May we be alive to every call of duty, accepting without question thy determination of our circumstances and our service. Amen. All right, again, I hope you have a good one, and I hope to see you tomorrow. Have a good night, or good day. God bless.